Welcome to Throwing Light. This is episode 24, 7 Minute Book Club, The Upside of Stress. Let's see, a couple things before we get started really quick. I've restarted Drinks, which is basically intuitive readings, which is putting my intuition to your problems to, you know, help in any way I can. And it's $33 for about, you know, 45 to 60 minutes. Usually it's closer to an hour and it's a lot of fun. And yeah, so if you are wanting guidance, especially for as we kind of go into the new year, it's something you might want to check out. I'm only doing like a handful over winter break and then I'll kind of reassess like, oh, the other thing, I want to do some kind of like low-key retreat, online retreat, where we talk about our goals and our plans and our word of the year for 2018. That'll be the first week in January, and it'll probably be a Facebook Live. I feel like that might be the easiest, funnest way. So if that is something that interests you, you can follow me on Facebook or follow Throwing Light. Yeah, it'll be fun. So the heart of it, this is this series that I do. I've actually only done one other book, but more are coming. So the book is called The Upside of Stress. It's by Kelly McGonigal. And the idea is stress is only bad for you if you think it's bad for you. And she has a TED Talk about this topic called How to Make Stress Your Friend. In 1998, 30,000 adults in the U.S. were asked how much stress they had experienced in the past year. They were also asked, do you think stress is harmful? 8 years later, the researchers scoured public records to find out who among the 30,000 had died. So the bad news, high levels of stress increase the risk of dying by 43%. However, and here is the thing behind the thing, it only applied to people who also believed that stress was harming their health. So people that reported high stress levels, but who did not view their stress as harmful, were not more likely to die. In fact, that particular group had the lowest risk of death of anyone in the study, including people who reported that they had very little stress. So when I say like what we believe matters, but not in the way we think, that's what I'm talking about. And Kelly, this was like, you know, a turning point for her because she'd kind of spent her career telling people that stress was bad for them and that they needed to eliminate it. So that was problematic. And that's like what you hear everywhere. And so that's why I'm so excited about this podcast. But since I only have 7 minutes, you know, I don't have time to cover everything she mentioned in her talk, let alone the book. So here are three basic highlights. Go read the book. So number one, a meaningful life is a stressful life. Likely, the stress you feel in your life is directly correlated to the things that you care about. In the book, she invites you to list your most meaningful roles, relationships, activities, or goals, things that bring you joy, love, laughter, learning, or a sense of purpose. And then she asks, would you also describe any of those things as sometimes or frequently stressful? I think you could do it the opposite way too. So what in your life stresses you out the most and what of those things bring meaning? She also talks about how you can reframe your mindset that this stress is negative by listing your values. So for example, work may really stress you out. You may hate your job and dread going, but the income that it brings, perhaps it helps you to do more than pay your bills. Maybe it enables you to help out a friend or a neighbor or give to a family in need. Perhaps it helps you buy a game for yourself or your kids that brings you or them joy. So you feel where I'm going here. The work stress becomes meaningful because the money that you make helps you to do things that are in line with your values. And that value that you receive and give, it's worth the stress, essentially. She also talks about the cost of avoiding stress, missed opportunities, coping strategies, and limiting your future. Okay, number two, you can turn your nerves into excitement. So on a physiological level, anxiety registers the same as excitement. So when you feel nervous about a presentation or a test, you can think, this is good. This is my body preparing me to perform. And in that way, you can change your fight or flight response in a non-life-threatening situation into a challenge response. And thus, you're better equipped to handle it. McGonagall has this whole section on how this even works in cases where people have actual anxiety disorders. Here's why. People with anxiety have the most negative perception of stress. They are the most likely to be helped by mindset interventions that teaches them to rethink their stress response. In other words, the farther you have to go, the farther you'll go, which is just really exciting to me. So last of all, caring creates resilience. So besides fight or flight, a couple of female stress researchers notice that we have another response too. It's the tend and befriend response. Women have this in spades, I think largely because of the way that we were socialized, but men have it too. We utilize this stress response by reaching out to our people when we're stressed and or helping someone else in the midst of our own stress. And when we do, our body releases hormones like oxytocin, dopamine, and serotonin that make us happier and help us to deal with our shit. Kelly talks about how creating bigger than self goals can transform our stress. When we work to serve others, our lives improve. That's science. This makes me happy. I love this because it's like so counterintuitive. If you're going through something horrible, the last thing someone is going to tell you for very good reasons is that you should help someone else. But it's actually part of the road to healing. I would love to hear what you think of this research. And if it helps you or if it doesn't, if it has the opposite effect, I'd love to hear it. Here it is, your break for verses. Blizzard, snowed in all the right ways, weirdly grumpy today, or sad, wanting to be alone, sort of took it out on Jay. Wanted to do a full moon ritual, but didn't know what to do. Last full moon I was sad too, Prayer for the people who died from this storm. Heartbroken. Grateful for what we have, and the space to rest. I have a vague sense that I'm not doing stuff that needs to be done. I would like to stop that. I would like to do what has to be done. And then to rest. And then to play. In the snow. And with Jermaine. A prayer for us. Thank you for listening. I am honored and grateful. I would love it if you would leave a review on iTunes because it does fancy things with the algorithm and it helps me reach more people. As always, the show notes for this episode can be found at brandyglows.com. If you have any questions or an idea for a future show, you can tweet me at brandyglows or email me at brandyglows@gmail.com.